Our sermon today is based on a reading from Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. It's up on the screen, yes. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Indeed, by a mighty hand he will let the people go. By a mighty hand he will draw them out of his land." God also spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai, but by my name, the Lord, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they resided as aliens. I have also heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are holding as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians and deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Moses told this to the Israelites, but they would not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. Thank you, God, for the gift of your word today. We preachers often get all caught up in what's happening to us on a personal level. Some things that happen to us, we have to delve into and examine from a spiritual angle in order to make sense of it for both ourselves and our congregations, to find the lessons God wants us to learn and then pass it on to everyone else. Case in point, I have lived with my broken leg for well over a month now. I still can't believe I actually broke a bone, two bones, really. I've never done that in my entire life. So on top of everything else, this had to happen. Did it have to happen? Is there something that God wants me to learn from this? I've been asking myself that all throughout this ordeal, and I really can't call it an ordeal because my leg doesn't hurt, and it didn't hurt even when it first happened, and I came through my surgery pretty easily. I'm learning new things like how to get around on the scooter and use it to do things like washing dishes and making up my bed. I go backwards pretty good, don't I? I have learned to graciously accept the help of so many people, and that is not an easy thing for a person who prides herself on her independence to do. I've gained empathy for people who are confined to wheelchairs, and I gained a lot of admiration for my late brother Ted, who had his leg amputated and had to learn to walk again with a prosthesis. When I put these past 2 months in perspective, it's really not so awful. But I've also learned you've got to watch out for a broken spirit in times like these. A broken spirit is worse than a broken bone, I think. It's very easy in a situation like this to start feeling sorry for yourself, to start to wonder if your broken bone will ever heal, and to worry if you'll ever get to walk and run like you did before. So with broken on my mind, I did my usual thing. I looked through the online concordance Bible Gateway for verses and stories in the Bible that spoke about being broken. And so I found today's Exodus story. The Israelites were deep in the grip of brokenness, the worst kind of brokenness. Their spirits were broken. They had lived under slavery in Egypt for so long that they had lost their heart and their will. They had abandoned all their hopes and dreams about gaining their freedom, about getting out from under Egypt's thumb. The Pharaoh's knee was pressing on their neck so strongly they could hardly breathe. They had the wind, the spirit, the life knocked out of them. They had no oomph to fight back, no strength to protest. They were stuck. And that's when Moses and Aaron came to Egypt to bring the people a glimmer of hope direct from God. They went right up to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Those bold words would start the chain of demand, deny, relent, renege. Demand, deny, relent, renege. That would lead to the 10 plagues that finally compelled Pharaoh to send Israel away. But before all that happened, before the frogs and the lice and the locusts and the Nile River turned to blood and the death of the firstborn, every attempt Moses and Aaron made to gain the people's freedom was thwarted. Pharaoh even spitefully decreed that the people would no longer be given straw to make the bricks they used to build Pharaoh's monuments and memorials and cities. They would have to find straw on their own, and they'd better still reach their daily quota of bricks. This was just about the last straw for the broken-spirited people. They were even more discouraged than before, because Moses and Aaron had come to their elders and told them God had heard their cries of distress and had sent the two brothers to help them. Well, some help they were. The people lashed out at Aaron and Moses, saying, "You've brought us into bad odor with Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Moses, in turn, lamented to God, "Why did you ever send me here? Since I first came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has mistreated this people, and you have done nothing at all to deliver your people." And that's when God said, "Wait a minute now. I will free the people. I will show Pharaoh who's boss." God made elaborate, wonderful promises. "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for possession." The verb tense of the "I will" statements in Hebrew can also mean it's a done deal. These were not future promises, they were present promises. God was speaking as though all these things had come to pass already, asserting the people were free and in the promised land already, whether they realized it or not. Who wouldn't want to hear good news like that? Who wouldn't be excited and eager to know that the long, dark night of slavery was about to end, and they would soon be facing the rising sun of their new day begun? Who wouldn't be ready to head into the land flowing with milk and honey? Well, when your spirit is so badly broken, as Israel's were, you find it hard to believe any good news. The people were too dispirited to listen to Aaron and Moses. Nothing good had happened so far, so why should things be any different now? They couldn't believe Moses and Aaron. They told them to stop getting their hopes up so high, only to have them cruelly and drastically dashed. With a broken spirit, you don't dare to dream. You don't dare to hope that things will improve and mending will happen. You can hardly stand to listen to someone who's trying to cheer you up and make you look on the bright side of things. Sometimes all you want to do is wallow. But God does not allow us to wallow. God calls us to faithfulness. The only thing that will mend a broken spirit is a trusting spirit. And isn't that what faith is? Believing in things you cannot see, freedom from bondage, living in your own land, no more casts and walkers and crutches. Even if it's not right in front of your eyes, a resilient spirit can see beyond the brokenness and know hope and healing are on the way. The prophet Habakkuk wrote, "For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." His words were directed at the people in exile who were as despaired as their ancestors had been about ever seeing an end to hard times. They couldn't believe in the promise of a brighter future. But Habakkuk reassured them their release and return wasn't going to happen today, but it would happen soon. They needed to wait and watch and pray and prepare. They needed to have faith. It's hard to hope when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Indeed, you get tunnel vision and you just put your head down and plow ahead, not daring to hope, just struggling to survive, not looking up or ahead. A broken spirit is a hard burden to bear. Why, we may even think, "No, Lord, this is too broke. It's so broke that even you can't mend it." But is anything too hard for the Lord? Is any broken spirit too far gone for God to mend? I have moments where I think, "I'll never get out of this cast. My leg will never be the same again," and of course it won't. I wonder if I will be able to trust it again. Will it hold up when I walk? Will it be strong enough again someday soon so that I can run? When I wallow in the what ifs and the what about that's, that's when I can't lift my head up and look up and believe this too shall pass. That's where the Israelites were. They couldn't let themselves believe their bondage would end and their lives would get better and their broken spirits would mend and they would be glad again. It just seemed too impossible. But God had already established a covenant with them and bestowed a blessing on them, and God was going to make all those far-fetched promises come to fruition. This was God's divine declaration to them and to us. The broken spirits will be healed. The broken places will be mended. The weak will be made strong, and the enslaved will be set free. The Israelites never dreamed they would one day sing a song of redemption and release and victory, the one we heard earlier today. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. They didn't believe they would ever sing like that again, but they did. So whenever we are feeling broken, when we are stuck in miserable unbelief, we need to remember God's promises. God has said, I will bring you out. I will set you free. I will mend your broken spirit. I will be your God. God does not intend to let us wallow in misery. God does not intend to let our broken spirit stay broken. God wants to set us free. God wants us to be whole and healed. God wants to hear our praises raised from glad hearts, thankful hearts. We will cast off our cast and our chains, and we will sing a new song in God's beautiful kingdom of healing and recovering. The promises are not for a faraway time or a faraway people. The promises are for here and now, for us. God has already saved and sheltered and helped and healed us. It's time for us to pick up our heads and our hearts. For God has reached for us with a stretched out arm, a strong arm, mighty to save, mighty to pull us up out of the depths of despair, mighty to get us unstuck from the mire of misery, mighty to put all the broken pieces back together and make them even stronger than before. A friend of mine texts a daily devotion to a group of us who are colleagues in Kentucky, and the other day he wrote, we are all a beautiful creation of broken pieces, mended by God's grace. God is greater than our brokenness. We are precious in the sight of the one who can use even broken vessels to carry out great plans. May we never get so downhearted and so low-spirited as to believe we are not precious to God. No, we are worthy. We are worthy to be loved, worthy to be redeemed, worthy to be healed, worthy to be free, worthy to breathe, worthy to be included in God's plan for all creation, however broken we may once have been. We are all of us on the mend, and God has come through us, through for us yet again. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God who mends even the most broken of spirits, let your healing touch be on us today. Make us vessels that are of use in your kingdom, knowing that in spite of our brokenness, you still consider us beautiful and whole and worthwhile. Let our hearts sing a new song of redemption and joy for the ways you have kept all the promises you have made to us. Amen.
Village woman precious treasure. His love and his own.